DW Africa Link.
In the global fight against HIV, few innovations have sparked as much hope and debate as lenacapavir, a revolutionary long-acting injectable that only needs to be administered twice a year. Touted as a game changer for both prevention and treatment, its arrival is sparking tough conversations in countries like Zimbabwe, one of the first low to middle income nations set to benefit from its rollout. Is this the medical breakthrough that could finally outpace the virus? Or could overstretched healthcare systems, which are already battling to deliver even basic care, miss the chance? As it turns out, the answer may depend less on the price or the drug itself, but more on access on the ground and partly understandable skepticism in the minds of the population. I'm Kai Nebe, and this is Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from across Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
The news that Zimbabwe is among the 10 countries selected to introduce lenacapavir to prevent HIV transmission has been widely welcomed. After all, clinical trials have posted promising results. Its demonstrated effectiveness at preventing infection is over 99%. And while health experts are optimistic about its potential to revolutionize HIV prevention, public skepticism persists at the introduction of this wonder drug. I'm now joined by DW correspondent in Zimbabwe, Columbus Muvanga, and Dr. Ponisai Nyika, a public health expert specializing in HIV/AIDS research and program implementation, to explore what the rollout of lenacapavir means for Zimbabwe.
Doctor, what is your first reaction to the recent announcement that lenacapavir will be made available across middle to low income countries such as Zimbabwe and other nations in Southern Africa?
Oh, for me, it was a wow moment because of a number of reasons. But I think the bigger one being this is such a unique and very important innovation. But more importantly, in earlier time, we would get these innovations and these new medicines to places like Zimbabwe, low to middle income countries, Africa in general, way later when, you know, many of the developed countries would have already benefited from them. But I was excited to see that, you know, lenacapavir became quickly available, especially to the most high-burden countries.
Just to recap, I mean, lenacapavir, it has been around for a few years, just hasn't been widely available, and it has also been available at a very high cost. Now, there has been a deal to bring the price of lenacapavir down to about $40 within 2 years from now. Can you just explain for listeners briefly, why is lenacapavir seen as such a game changer compared to other medicines that have been used in fighting HIV/AIDS?
Oh, yeah, and I should have specified that specifically for HIV prevention, you know, it has been seen to be highly effective, which is what makes it, you know, very exciting compared to the others. It is highly effective in preventing HIV infection if used correctly and consistently. But more importantly, it's given twice a year, which helps us with the biggest problems, but the biggest problem that we've had in HIV prevention, which is adherence to treatment, which had to be taken, let's say, as daily oral pills, or the other injection, which has already been there, which needed to be taken every 2 months. So this is why lenacapavir is more unique, and we are excited about it.
I just want to come to you now, Columbus, as a reporter who has been reporting also on the status of HIV within Zimbabwe and also Southern Africa. Can you tell us a bit about the public reaction towards this? We've heard from what it was like from a medical point of view. What was the public reaction that you could gauge within Zimbabwe when this announcement came about?
I think the reactions are varied. There are some people who can't wait for the drug to come to Zimbabwe and assist those, help those who might be prone to the HIV, or those who are on medication alone already. Taking it twice a year would be a game changer, like what the doctor said. And also, but there are some people who are pessimistic, and I think that's natural whenever a new drug comes into town. There are some people who are saying, no, this should be, the Americans should maybe go on trials for longer periods, but I guess that's natural. You know, some people are just pessimistic.
Following on from what Columbus said, the idea that that there's perhaps a bit of mistrust surrounding this new wonder drug as it's been billed, lenacapavir. Do you think that there is cause for concern in that regard? And how do you go about, from a medical perspective, trying to dispel fears about this new drug that is supposedly going to be a game changer in HIV prevention?
Yeah, certainly that's understandable. And I must say, every new in quotes medicine raises questions. It is important to understand that, I mean, for our clients, for our recipients of care, that all medicines, including lenacapavir, can have some side effects. But the data that we have does show that lenacapavir is very safe and well tolerated. So the most common side effect that people will experience is just mild tenderness or a bit of pain at the injection site. I mean, it is an injection, so it will be a little bit painful, which usually goes away very quickly. But from a medical standpoint, what we need to do is to be very transparent and to communicate clearly about the benefits and the risks, and to reassure people that, you know, the rollout will include strict pharmacovigilance and monitoring of the drug and the side effects and what people are experiencing. But also educating both providers and communities will be key to, you know, to building confidence. So that's what I would really focus on.
I mean, what I find quite fascinating is also having interviewed people with HIV and also talking about some of the challenges that health professionals have faced in fighting the virus. Even though we can talk about a lot of forward strides that have been made in this regard, there do remain challenges. I mean, although I do get the impression that by now many people see taking medication as a way to prevent HIV. What do you see as one of the main challenges regarding accessibility for lenacapavir within the Zimbabwean context?
So like you rightly said, I mean, Zimbabwe is actually a very solid HIV response infrastructure, which was built over the past two decades, supported by strong partnerships with partners like PEPFAR, the Global Fund, UN agencies, and other local institutions, just to mention but a few. So this creates a solid foundation for the introduction of lenacapavir, and these same systems that have successfully delivered at ART, which is antiretroviral therapy, and PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis for HIV, can be leveraged for lenacapavir. And you may know that, you know, Zimbabwe has made significant strides in the control of HIV, which was driven by, you know, the systems that delivered antiretroviral therapy. Of course, we do have issues to do with affordability and equitable access, like you mentioned, which will depend largely on policy alignment, cost negotiations, and possibly local production or even regional procurement mechanisms can help to bring, you know, the cost down. But also leveraging the existing supply chains, community health systems that we already have, and differentiated service delivery models, which have worked for us, will help ensure equitable access, especially in rural areas and in some hard-to-reach areas. But of course, we will need strong planning. And with these in place, I am confident that Zimbabwe can make it work.
Okay. Now, coming to you, Columbus, what about the government, the Zimbabwean government's reaction to this? Because the drug itself was, of course, as Dr. Nyika mentioned, was developed outside of Zimbabwe, but now it is, of course, becoming something that could become is set to become quite readily available. How has the government responded to this? And has there been a sort of a blueprint of how it's going to use this, quite significant weapon in fighting HIV?
The government says it can't wait for the rollout to start. It has indicated that the rollout program will start in January 2026, and they'll start by targeting breastfeeding and pregnant women who are seen as maybe having more vulnerability to pass on to their kids.
And looking beyond that, if I can actually put this question to both of you, we have a situation where Zimbabwe has, of course, made significant strides towards fighting HIV. But how does this fight actually differ from a context such as perhaps in South Africa, which, as we know, has the largest population or has the largest epidemic of HIV? Like, are there certain things that Zimbabwe has in its favor that perhaps South Africa, for instance, does not? Or are there also some disadvantages to think of?
I think you might recall that Zimbabwe was the first country in the world to come up with the AIDS levy. That's around 1999. And since then, the government has been raising internal funds for fighting HIV, and with partners like Global Fund, the USAID, PEPFAR, Africa CDC, they've been a united front to fight HIV. And the Zimbabwean government believes that by come 2030, we'll achieve the zero infection.
Yeah, I think Columbus has mentioned some of the things, and like he rightly said, we differ not by much really, but you know, a small difference can add up to a big difference. So one other thing is we also have a very dedicated human resources base in Zimbabwe, highly skilled professionals, in as much as we do have the brain drain, Zimbabwe has got very, very good human resources for health who are very, you know, proactive and experienced as well. But the other thing I think what could differ is also the health-seeking behaviors amongst the population. Our populations have always been known to be, you know, very, you know, positive in terms of health-seeking behavior and taking up government programs. But I mean, we also have strong education systems that help disseminate information, generate demand, and, you know, convert that demand into effective uptake of public health interventions.
And just staying with you, Doctor, do you think that there perhaps is a bit of a danger if the word goes around that, okay, there is this drug that can actually help us fight HIV, that perhaps some other effective steps that have been used in the past to combat HIV maybe get neglected? Do you see that this is a concern? Do you think that there needs to be something done in order to make sure that some of those strides have not been neglected going forward?
So I would say thank you for mentioning that. And certainly it's something that we need to be concerned about and to, you know, keep an eye and ear on. But I mean, our HIV programs have always been comprehensive and, you know, we always use combination interventions. We have tried to build systems that are not parallel or vertical, so much so that when we talk about PrEP, we also, for example, Zimbabwe has got a combination prevention program, which includes things like the dapirolizumab ring. It includes VMMC, which is, voluntary medical male circumcision. It includes even post-exposure prophylaxis and many other things that I can talk about. So we don't normally introduce, something or an intervention in isolation. We use these combination strategies where we're not saying it's either this or that. So we give people choices. We offer differentiated service delivery where we have like a wholesome package. So I don't necessarily think that this would directly lead to that. But of course, it's something to just keep watch of and, you know, be ready to mitigate.
The one other thing I just want to come back to, and I know this is something that probably will become clearer as we move forward to the date it is actually rolled out. But the claims that the drug, that the price of the drug would cost about 40 US dollars per person when it is rolled out. That is a far cry from the thousands of dollars it would have cost before. However, that figure of 40 US dollars, from your perspective, how affordable is that to ordinary Zimbabweans who would need to take this drug at least twice a year, every year for their lives?
Certainly, there will be people who will be able to afford it, but I would put that at less than 20% of our population who need it. But the good thing is I've already talked about the partnerships that we have with PEPFAR, with the Global Fund, with other partners. And my understanding is that just like antiretroviral therapy for treatment, which has been provided to our populations at no cost to them, just because of these partnerships that we have, lenacapavir is also going to be available to our populations that need it, at least for now, at no cost to them. I've always said I don't want to say it's free because somebody pays for it. So it's at no cost to their recipients of care at the point of service. So for that reason, I do believe that access will be equitable to some extent, but definitely, you know, the cost remains high. And if there are mechanisms available to make it cheaper, we would definitely welcome those and appreciate them.
All right. Now, I just want to come to Columbus. I mean, we talked about the price. We've talked about the actual ability to make this make the drug available in terms of access. But of course, one of the big battles is, of course, convincing people. Now, in the previous iterations of antiretroviral treatment, when those drugs came out, there did not exist, for instance, a social media, which is now definitely the case. And the spread of false information and disinformation is probably a lot more pronounced now than it used to be, or at least more obviously. Columbus, has there been discussion among social media about this? Has this, the concern that a lot of fake news is being spread about this particular drug, perhaps in the way that there were concerns raised during the COVID pandemic and fake news were spread about the new drugs that were released then?
I think social media, in as much as it brings information readily available, there's also a lot of disinformation. So the government is urging Zimbabweans not to believe what they read from the social media, which is not, say, maybe coming from experts. The government has also indicated that it will roll out adverts on national newspapers, radios, and television, as well as other international organizations that broadcast into Zimbabwe, so that people are aware of the benefits of this new drug. So that will be the sort of countering what the misinformation that comes from the social media.
Okay, thanks very much. And one of these, one of the rumors that has been spread about is, you know, the idea that there's this drug that was developed in the West and now it's going to be brought to an African or to a number of African countries. You know, why should we trust this? Doctor, perhaps you could speak to this. Lenacapavir was, even though it was initially developed in the United States, it has actually had quite a lot of involvement with African doctors across the continent working to see how effective the drug will be. Can you talk to that?
Definitely, I think when local scientists and institutions are visibly involved in developing or evaluating a medicine, it builds ownership and trust. It also shows that the product has been tested and approved by experts who understand our realities. So that's why, you know, collaborations with African research institutions, ministries of health, and other regional bodies, really, like the Africa CDC, are really, really so important. They help bridge science and community confidence. But let me also hasten to say that as a country, we do have mechanisms that we've used in the past. I mean, we have introduced a lot of public health products in the past, which also had their own issues, including antiretroviral therapy in the beginning. Our regimens were stuffed in beds, stuffed in a lot of side effects, and most of these drugs were developed in the US. But I mean, it's people like you who help share accurate information. We also use our own media. Social media, we use social media influencers. We use, like, I can also state that the Ministry of Health has a communication strategy for HIV control, which is very robust, that helps to guide how to deal with misinformation, myths and misconceptions, but also how to share accurate information beforehand as a way of preventing the misinformation, the myths and misconceptions that may lead to hesitancy. So there are several structures available, you know, that the government and other experts are able to use to provide accurate information and, you know, help people understand that these medicines are good for them.
All right. Now, just as we begin to wrap up, I want to just have a look forward, because actually, so far as I can understand, according to the data released by UNAIDS, we actually have, even though we've made many, many strides to eliminate the threat of the HIV/AIDS epidemic within Southern Africa, we are actually a little bit behind schedule, as if that were to exist. There were hopes, or I think about 10 years ago, that by now we'd be dealing with caseloads within the hundreds of thousands rather than millions. So, Doctor, just one of the things that to close up from your side, what kind of, I mean, but of course, before then, we didn't have a drug like lenacapavir that could really help us. So what do you think is still needed for us to really bring those figures down?
Oh, yeah, you're so right. And I think UNAIDS are also right in saying that we still have, you know, work on our hands. Because remember, the epidemic or the pandemic started with one case. So as long as we still have a case around there, we have an issue on our hands. Although we now have prevention, we now have treatment. And I mean, we have made remarkable progress. We have reduced new infections. We have expanded treatment coverage. But to go further, I think we must continue diversifying prevention options, like our pre-exposure prophylaxis that we're talking about, including the lenacapavir, but also giving people options that work for them. We need to expand youth-friendly and gender-responsive programs. We need to use more data more strategically to target high-risk areas. But also beyond biomedical tools, we also need to strengthen social and economic support systems for people living with HIV so that they are able to, you know, seek services. They're able to go for testing, and when they test positive, to start treatment, but not only start, but to continue to take their medicines effectively so that they achieve viral load suppression, so that they can live healthier lives and they can live fulfilling lives, and they can, you know, continue to, I don't want to say reintegrate, because we don't want to disintegrate them in the first place. So they continue to be part of society, part of communities, fight stigma, fight all those barriers that prevent them from even starting, but also from continuing on treatment, given that this is a lifelong treatment. But also the same applies to prevention. People must be able to access prevention services in a way that, you know, doesn't expose them, that doesn't stigmatize them, and also that, you know, conforms to their normal lives, so that they continue to live their lives normally.
Dr. Ponasai Nyika and DW correspondent in Zimbabwe, Columbus Muvanga, many thanks for joining us.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
As both of our guests mentioned, a key factor in determining the success of HIV treatment is adequate access to the appropriate medicine. And to that end, we spoke to Ugandans. While they welcomed the results of the trial, there were also concerns about the lack of access and affordability. Currently, the drug remains unavailable to the general public, and with high costs making it inaccessible for many, some are calling for government intervention.
How is it going to help us? Because I'm sure it's for the rich.
It has to be distributed with a lot of caution to the members of public, because most of them will be going out sleeping irresponsibly, because of course they'll be knowing that they have that infection, that injection that will help them to protect them from acquiring HIV and AIDS.
For this drug to be readily available for the populations, it is important that discussions are held to lower the price, but also give patenting rights for local manufacturers to be able to manufacture these drugs locally so that it can be accessed by the populations.
We are hopeful that the price of lenacapavir from the supplier, from the producer, will come down significantly, that it should be affordable within our countries and by even some of the individuals within this country.
That's it for today's edition of Africa Link. Remember, you're not just a listener, but an integral part of our community. Your engagement is crucial in shaping the direction of our discussions and our programming. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. You can also find all the Africa Link episodes on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. This episode was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. My name is Kai Nebe, and until next time, it's bye for now.
DW, made for minds.